Welcome to the Sportscast, June 12th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, or Periscope to receive notifications for the next cast. And if you are on iTunes, please leave us a review and rating. It'll help us out tremendously. The World Cup final is set. France versus Croatia. One has a championship, the other does not. But yesterday, Croatia beat England out of nowhere. England was up 1-0. They were ahead for almost an hour and 45 minutes until Croatia came back at the end, sending the game into overtime, and Croatia scoring another goal to make it 2-1 to send them to the final. And we have George Montoya on the Sportscast. Welcome.
Hey, man, what's up?
So, George, we'll first go over this match that happened yesterday between Croatia and England. It felt like England was very confident after the first half, but then Croatia's mental muscles came through. Do you think Croatia is the real deal and they're going to, you know, fight it to the end?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, it was England scored that first goal really early in the game. Trippier, that was an incredible goal they scored. And they, like I said, it's kind of similar. They played a kind of similar style that they did against Colombia. Like, they basically, even though there was a reserve at the time in Colombia, they just played very, like bend not break kind of play. They weren't doing too many aggressive playing. They're like, you know, they're already in the lead. They're kind of playing a little cautious. But the incredible thing about Croatia is that, man, these guys are just fighters, man. They're warriors because even in the second half started, like, you saw, like, midway towards the second half, you saw Croatia was just, like, I mean, full speed in a sense, kind of. Like, compared to England, England was sluggish, slow. And I was like, man, like, these guys have played so much. How do these guys still have the, especially Modric, you know, how do these guys have, like, I mean, it's fortitude, you know? Like, I mean, they've played so many long games ahead of this game, and somehow they look more fresher, you know, more explosive. And they came back, man. They came back strong, you know? And I always picked Croatia to win this game. You know, I mean, I was surprised England got that first goal. You know, it was an incredible goal. But I thought it was going to penalties, but I didn't doubt Croatia was going to tie. I knew they were going to at least tie it for sure.
Yeah, you're right. I think first half, Croatia was playing a little chill. I didn't see much urgency, but then the second half, they changed. I think their mental toughness came through, and they never stopped. And it felt like they had an easier time with England than Russia.
Well, Russia's kind of played a similar style in Croatia. You know, they're a resilient team. Obviously, they don't have the same star power than Croatia has, but it all depends on your strategy and your tactical decisions in field, and you know, and that's the thing. You know, like I that's why I love France, because France is very balanced in both sides. You know, they could score four goals on you if they want to, like against Argentina, if they have to, or they could just, you know, play a very defensive kind of counter attack strategy. You know, so. Yeah, I mean, Croatia, I mean, I thought they were the best team in the right side of the bracket, especially after Spain got knocked out early. Really, I thought they were the best team. And throughout, like, you even see it throughout the group stage, France and Croatia really were the ones that played the most balanced of all the teams. They struggled in some games. It wasn't that big of a struggle, you know. They were just maybe off a little bit, but they still ended up pulling a win, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I think those two teams were definitely favorites. I know that Croatia, after the group stage, people were saying, guys, Croatia is top four, watch out for them. And then for France, it was the same thing. You know, I mean, everyone was saying, well, France didn't start well, didn't have a good group stage. It was kind of dull. But I agree very much with you. If they have to score four goals, they have to do it. If they just score with one is enough. You know, they only pull their muscles when they really, really have to. And, you know, looking at the past games, I think the one against Argentina was like 4-3. I think that might have been their best challenge. You could say Belgium was a good challenge, but they didn't really have to stress it out with Belgium. Now, looking forward to the final, France versus Croatia, What do you think will happen? Do you think France can handle Croatia's toughness? Or do you think Croatia has enough to go all the way, you know, to the end?
Yeah. Well, you know, the people that say that France struggled in the group stage, really, maybe they don't watch the games that much. I mean, I watched pretty much all of them, and they only had that 7 points to get out of the group stage, and they had the tie in the end against Denmark. But remember, that game didn't mean anything because they both were advancing. So they could have easily won all three games. Maybe they struggled against Australia a little bit, but, I mean, it's a World Cup, you know, but they still pulled off the win, which all that really what matters, you know. It's not like, for me, it's like a team like Belgium, for example, where they struggled against Japan and he almost lost and came back in the end. Like, France didn't have, like those games like that. So, Croatia against France is going to be a really great match. I think France, by far, has had the best defense over, like, any of the teams. They just have those two young guys in the corner, you know, Hernandez and Favar, they stepped up huge. What I've known about them is that they weren't even projected to be starters, you know, and like prior to the World Cup starting. I think they had a couple of injuries, right? I think there were a couple of injuries, and these two guys were kind of unknowns a little bit, and they stepped up huge.
Yeah, Benjamin Pavard, that plays for Stuttgart, and Lucas Hernandez, which I had never heard of him before this tournament. He has, you know, he's played almost every match of the tournament so far. And you have Varane and Umtiti. I mean, after Uruguay, or maybe or maybe before Uruguay, France has the better defense than Croatia.
Yeah, Varane, how you pronounce it, Varane. Like, he was, man, he's incredible, man. He's really, really good. And I mean, and they have two defensive kind of midfielders in a sense.
And N'Golo Kante. We didn't
hear about him.
And Pogba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, watch out for Kante. I think he's, Pogba, I mean, right? He's a very key player. He's helped out Leicester win a championship, win the league for the Premier League, also helped Chelsea. So he's a very championship-minded guy. I think he's the key player. And Pogba as well. Pogba, supposedly, he's the next Zidane. Have we seen the best of Pogba, or do you think he's playing enough for this team?
Well, he struggled earlier. I think the last couple of games he's been getting better and better. So, you know, he's always been one of those guys that he just plays defense. He just does all the hard work, and they don't hear much about him. He doesn't really offensive mind, but that's good. You have an extra defender there. Pogba's getting better. Giroud, is it Giroud how you pronounce him? Like,
Giroud.
I don't really like the way he's played. I think he's Giroud. Yeah, Giroud. He hasn't scored. You know, it's kind of, yeah. Huh?
He has not scored. Giroud has not scored all tournament.
No. He has, and now he's struggled, man. He struggled to get, when he gets the ball, he doesn't have that last touch. But even though he's, you know what I mean, like, the team is stacked. I think Mbappe's always been the better offensive player there so far. And now Griezmann, he's been, you know, the glue in the middle there. But Croatia, on the other hand, they've just been, man, every game has been just a battle to the end, right? And obviously France should be the favorites. I think they're the most balanced team. But, you know, in my mind it says, oh, yeah, France is going to win. But then I can't really say easily. You know, Croatia is just – it just feels like Croatia is one of those, like, destined to win kind of teams, kind of like, in my heart, saying, look, man, these guys are just putting everything out there. But I would say France. I mean, I am kind of rooting for France, but I wouldn't be excited if Croatia wins. Because, I mean, whoever wins it obviously is going to deserve it. You know, they're both playing great soccer.
Would you be surprised if Croatia wins?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think everyone doubted them throughout the whole tournament. And like I said, they've been playing, what, overtime penalties back-to-back, and then the overtime game here that just passed. They're like, oh, they're not going to have enough legs to do it. But for me, it feels like when these guys are down, like, they just play even harder in the second half, and they just outplay you, you know? Like, they just come back strong, and they don't – I mean, you think about it. They had a lot of – they could have scored so many goals, like, in the second half. They got so close before overtime, you know? Like, they got so close so many times. And the goalkeeper, man, I love that goalkeeper. What's his name again? Something like that.
His name is Daniel Subasic.
Yeah, Subasic. Yeah, he's great, man. He's playing – he's might be. I think what is that word card with the word at the end of the World Cup for the goalkeepers? I think he's probably going to win it.
The Golden Glove.
Yeah, Golden Gloves. Yeah, he's been playing, man, very clutch, and the defense is solid as well. You know, and I mean the strength of Croatia is their midfield. You know, they have a lot of great players there, not only Modric, Rajic, Kovacic, right, and other guy, I forgot his name.
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce these names, but
Perisic.
Yeah, and then him and other forwards. They all, I mean, the weakness could be their forwards, but they're all kind of balanced. They don't have like one superstar there. They just all kind of play hard and do their job. But I think France is always somewhat deeper. You know, they're just a more, more experienced team in a sense.
Yeah. I think Croatia.
Going under the wire.
Yeah, Croatia has the best midfield of the tournament, probably more than France, but maybe by a hairline. I mean, France has a great midfield, don't get me wrong. But I think Croatia, like I said, very experienced midfield. That's probably the right word. They could pull this off. And it'd be funny if they pull it off in extra time or in PKs.
It feels like it could easily go that way. I mean, I don't see how the way France and Croatia play it. They don't make too many huge errors. So the popular kind of strategy, you know, play defense first, you know, and bend and don't break kind of game and take advantage of whatever mistakes you make. You know, so it could be one of those games kind of similar, like a 1-0, you know, 2-1 game, you know, like that. You know, I don't see like crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Very crazy this season.
The very last time they faced in the World Cup was 1998 when France beat them 2-1. And it was a Croatia that was, it was their first World Cup. It was with Šuker Davor Šuker. He was the main star of the team. And this team, I mean, they're probably, you know, they're a very young country. It's a small country, but great soccer stars. You know, very, very strong, very good midfield. Mandzukic plays for Roma, so he plays in the Serie A in the top four European clubs. But you know, as a Colombian, you were pretty happy Croatia beat England, right?
Yes, man. I really it was funny because, I mean, I thought England was. They made it far, but I don't think they played that well. I mean, compared to every other team, like, even though other people had less talent, they played better, stronger. England was, didn't really think they had a chance against Croatia, which they did. But I just didn't like the way they were playing. I thought all the big names they have there, they didn't have that consistency, you know. And Kane, I'm not saying he's a bad player; he's a great player, but most of his goals were penalty kicks he took and. Set pieces like that. He only had like one open field goal, I believe, out of the six open play goal. So a lot of the guys underperformed. I think Trippier was probably the best player they had throughout the whole tournament. I really liked him. He got hurt in the end of the game, which I hope he recovers from that. And maybe in a third place game, we might actually see them play each other. You know, Belgium and them full strength, which I don't know. I don't really know how the history is in the World Cup, like third place game. Do they really play everyone else? Or do they play their bench more? I mean, I don't know. Do they really fight for the third place?
Historically, it's been a mix of starters and the B team, like the bench players. Depends how much they want it. Like, I would like to leave with a medal, not empty-handed.
Well, that's true. You do get a medal for third, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like the coach from Uruguay saying, hey, I mean, I'd rather go to the, you know, rather be in the semifinals, you could win one of the three medals and not come out empty-handed. But I will play for the bronze medal, you know, and be a very strong third place. I mean, they were talking about how it's better to play at a World Cup third place medal than at a Gold Cup or a Copa America, third place medal.
It's true.
You know, it has more valor. It's like, hey, yeah, I mean, I have it right there in my trophy box. I got a World Cup medal.
Yeah, the World Cup games, really, when you think about it, I mean, even I think the group stage alone is probably better than, like, playing playoffs in one of those cup games, like the clubs and stuff, right? I mean, think about it. Like, this is for your country. This is against all the whole world. Once every 4 years. I mean, I think every game is so much more valuable on average than any game you'll play for, you know, your club. You know what I mean? Because you have that every year. You know, you have superstars around you, and other teams got more money than other teams, so you get more stacked. You know, like, it's not as even. You know, so like, yeah, the World Cup obviously is, I think, the greatest. I think it's a spectacle in sports. Man, that's my favorite. I think I'll take that over a Super Bowl. Really, you know, I love football. I love Super Bowls, but I love the World Cup. I think it's the most amazing tournament in sports.
There is an argument out there that people are saying that the Champions League is more, it's much more better than the World Cup. You know, there's this huge argument, but I think in the World Cup there's more emotion. There's more, you know, there's more blood in it, I think.
Yeah, of course. I mean, well, yeah, maybe the Champions Cup, you know, maybe that's just more balanced because the teams are more stronger in general. But like the World Cup, I mean, it's, you gotta understand, it's based on your country, you know, and it's, the teams are more, I guess, I would say evened out, but they don't have, they're not stacked also with like all these superstars, you know, and unless you're obviously your country like Brazil or something like that. But like for the most part, you always see those underdog teams, you know, play very hard and make it far, like Russia, you know, like Russia did, you know, like, so like, I think the World Cup means more. I mean, if you win a Champions League or a World Cup title, what means more? Come on. Obviously the World Cup.
World Cup, I think, because World Cup is harder to get. It's every 4 years. And once you reach the World Cup, you only have one chance, it feels like. I think playing more than one World Cup is hard. I think it's, I mean, some players have done it. Don't get me wrong. I've seen, you know, players playing 4 World Cups. But if you don't get it right, you know, your chances for the next World Cup to win is just, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was like every 3 years instead. I want to see it like more often. But obviously, it will lose its, you know, its importance kind of thing, you know.
It's quality. So, I mean,
yeah,
I really hope like the whole 48 team might go back down to 32 after they see it, what happens. I don't think it's going to work out. I really think they're going to put it down to I think 32 or 24 is a perfect number.
Yeah, I mean, I think 32 is perfect. I don't think they need to change that. I just think they should make it where less teams make it out of like certain places of the world, like Africa and Asia, I think. They should have, like, maybe instead of 4 countries going out of Africa, maybe 3, you know, and then add another one spot to Europe and another, and then take another spot to South America. You know, just to make more better teams in the World Cup, because I feel like Europe and South America, they're just so stacked. Teams like Chile, you know, in Spain, Italy, I mean, Netherlands, these teams deserve to be in the World Cup. They're just still the best in the world. And to have you fight it out, you know, with other great teams, it just feels like you get robbed. Maybe that's why they're doing it too at 48. That way, almost everyone goes in. But then the bad side of that is you're gonna have like really terrible teams that if they score one goal, it'll be like great for them. You know?
I agree. And you're right. For South America, they have 4 spots, but then the 5th spot plays a playoff against a team from Asia or from the Oceania. I think South America should have solid 5 spots, maybe even 6. Because South America, I mean, someone needs to counter Europe a little bit more.
In the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, Europe has about like 14 spots, I think. But, I mean, South America is probably, right now, is the only continent that can counter Europe the best.
Of course. It's always been that way historically, right? I mean, South America's in, I mean, I think, I mean, they only have 10 teams, right? 10 teams play?
From South America, only 10. Yeah. But I still think it's just, you know, keep it 5 spots.
Yeah, it should be like 5 guaranteed spots. Then one by one playoff. I mean, because usually, like, out of 10 teams, like 8 of them are like pretty competitive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, pairwise is pretty good. Like Chile, you know, missed out. You know, maybe, you know, there's probably 2 teams that didn't make it out of South America that could have competed, like Chile and Paraguay. Maybe even Venezuela. I mean, they have some good matches sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Chile, I wish they would have made it. You know, they kind of got unlucky in the end. But I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, you know, you gotta play hard. And I mean, the only thing I guess it makes sense, but you know, to qualify for the World Cup, you have to play what, like 2-3 years, of games?
It's usually 2 years of games. But the thing is, Europe has more of an advantage. Europe has a Euro Cup every 4 years, and it's right between each World Cup. But the Euro Cup is pretty much just like a World Cup for them.
So when's the next one?
The Euro Cup will be in 2020.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I didn't even know that.
I know, because Europeans are more equipped. You know, they're pretty much... Look, the Euro Cup is pretty much another World Cup, but just minus South America. That's what it is.
Yeah, they should include them just for making it funner.
I would like to see just, like, one team, like, you know, like, put Brazil in it. See how it works. See how it goes.
Hey, well, because you have those cups where they invite, like, a couple teams, right? Like, isn't there a cup coming up that they invited two teams to it?
Only Copa America has done it and the Gold Cup. But Copa America typically invites, like, two guest teams. It's typically Mexico and some other team.
Bad teams, right?
What was that?
I think it was the Gold Cup that's about to start. I think it's Gold Cup. I'm not sure. But they invite these two teams. I think they're just terrible teams. I don't even know what they were.
In the past, they usually invite Brazil is one of them. And then, I mean, not anymore, because CONCACAF has so much countries. You know, got the Caribbean, got Trinidad, Antigua. They used to invite Brazil all the time. But now it's just, I think they just kept it inside the confederation.
Yeah, they see the Gold Cup. I'm trying to see who they invited, man. They invited these two teams.
Copa America has invited Japan before. Can you believe that?
Yeah, wow.
But other than that, there is other tournaments between the World Cup cycles. I really do think Europe has really well set up. I'm not saying that we, you know, we don't in the CONCACAF or CONMEBOL. But CONMEBOL, they have the Copa America, like, the year after, which is next summer. But then like, you know, that's it. Then they just have World Cup qualifying. And Euro Cup is, you know, right in between. But I did hear for Copa America, they might put CONCACAF and CONMEBOL together. So it would be, you know, USA, Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama, all, like, in one to compete against the Euro Cup.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, and that would be actually a lot more exciting for sure.
And they did that in 2016, so I'd like to see that more. I think it would be better for both confederations. More has more competition, and we'll get the teams equipped. And they should probably do it at the same time as the Euro Cup, or, you know, like around like those same dates. I think it would be great, but. Anyways, we're coming to the near the end of the show. What is your final goal score prediction?
Ah, man. Please, either way, but I would say 2-1 France.
I'm gonna say it's going to be, 2-1. It's going to be high scoring. I was going to say 1-0. It might take 1-0 because it feels like, you know, Belgium is kind of similar to Croatia in some ways, but Belgium has more creativity. I'm going to say...
I think if it's 1-0, I think it'll be France.
Yeah, France will not win pretty. They're going to win, like, whatever it takes. It could take one goal, and that'll be enough for them.
Because I don't see how Croatia's up 1-0. I don't see how France doesn't tie it, at least. So I think it's harder to score in France than Croatia. So, but I could see Croatia scoring a goal and tying it up, and then France maybe pulls away or something like that. But, I'd be crazy to see like 2-3 or 4-1 or something like that. I don't see it. But, so who are you rooting for? Who, France or Croatia?
What's I'm rooting for France. I like France. They're going to win it all, and I'm sticking with the EA Sports prediction where they had France winning the tournament. They had that prediction before the tournament started.
But did they have the score or no? They just predicted.
The simulation. They had, I think it was France versus Germany, and France winning in penalty kicks.
Interesting.
But that was Germany.
This World Cup has been wild. I mean, I always put France in the final four and possibly finals, you know, before they started. Now, obviously, they made it. But Germany was just, man, what a disappointment. I think Spain was probably the biggest disappointment, then probably Germany. I think Spain was like...
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, was Spain that had the issues with the coach? That was a open up a can of worms.
That's true.
But
Germany just felt like...
Yeah.
Germany just felt like they were just old and tired, and like maybe just all those guys that play in the Euro League and stuff like that, they were just been worn out, man.
That's the thing with the World Cups. I mean, like my whole new philosophy now is you got to take young players in their 20s, youth and speed, because you know you're dealing with players coming back after one whole season and then coming to a World Cup, which is high intensity. So, and, you know, you can only have a 20-year-old handle this, you know, this high-intensity, high-cardio, high-regiment tournament rather than a 30-year-old that's, oh, my gosh, he's probably worn out, you know. But that's the thing with Germany. Germany didn't take, you know, didn't take the player from Manchester City, Hane.
Yep.
And they relied too much on the old players.
That was a huge mistake.
Huge mistake, and I think they should fire the coach. I mean, look, he's been there for 12 years. If he's relying on his old player still, forget it.
Well, that was the issue, is that he had an issue with Sean, and something happened within the team, and he didn't like him.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't. If I was a coach, obviously, you might not agree with some things players say or some things they do. But in the end, you must always think, like, what's the best for my team to win? And this guy, you know, has, you know, youth and speed and creativity, and he has a lot of potential. You have to put him in the team, regardless if you like him or not. Maybe don't start him off the bat. Maybe, you know, put him on the bench and then put him in slowly in the second half and see what happens. But you have to take him. You just can't say, you know what, no, someone's probably a better option, which is not true. Come on, man. You know, so, yeah, that's what he should probably do. He probably will get fired.
He actually did not. He got a contract extension for 2 more years.
Doesn't make any sense, but okay.
I know. He probably has to redeem himself for the Euro Cup in 2020, so we'll see where the cookie crumbles. But that's all we have today. World Cup preview, World Cup final preview. It was a good tournament. George will probably come back to recap the final and the tournament itself. And how can people reach you, George?
Through email, man. Social media for me. Eternal4128@gmail.com.
You did mention you might join Instagram, right?
Yeah, possibly in the future, man. But not necessarily 100% on that yet.
Twitter's a good one. Twitter's fair. No one really follows you much, but people can talk to you after the sportscast if you join.
Yeah, there's so many time-consuming things, man, you know, so, but yeah.
It's all about time management, and you need time management in the World Cup. If you need to reach me at Sleon or SleonProductions.com, and please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes, and if you're on iTunes, please rate us, review us, so it can help us out search. Our views have been going high this past couple of weeks because of the World Cup. Hopefully we'll continue this drive to the NFL season. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. That's my favorite sport right there.
Right there, man. Can't wait. We'll see big things, what happens, and we'll see how Frank Gore does in the Miami Dolphins. George, appreciate you coming to the sportscast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.